Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
Good morning, and good to be back. You may have wondered if I left the church and the city or whatever, so sorry about that. We had a lot of travel packed into the last 5 weeks. For my dad's 80th birthday out in Oregon, my family's from Oregon, and so to see them, I have to go all the way that direction. And then I had board meetings up in Ohio and then went to Asia. So that was the last trip, just got back from there, and it was an amazing time. I can't talk about some of it and can't about the other. So some of you here will understand that, since we support some folks in really a nation that is fairly closed, and so we have to be careful about what we talk about. But I did get a chance to stop through there and to minister to some of the leaders, and it was a pretty amazing time. You know, being around people that have been persecuted severely is pretty humbling. You know, a couple of these guys on one day, as we were ministering to them, they've got scars over their heads from being beaten to almost a coma, and just persecuted, this huge smile on their face as they continue to serve the Lord and not to shrink back in any way. And these are our brothers and our sisters who are living in a different place, doing things that are so courageous. And so just encourage you to continue to pray for them as we continue to support them as well. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk more later when we can black out the screen and do some of that later. But I also got a chance to go to a place I hadn't been in 32 years, and that is Sri Lanka. So if you've ever heard of or been to Sri Lanka, it used to be called Ceylon before their independence, if you heard of Ceylon tea. World-renowned tea, but I got a chance to live there. I lived there for 2 years in the early 90s, and I hadn't been back since I left in 1993. And so got to take Debbie and introduce her to just so many wonderful people. The people that I met there, I didn't want to leave actually when I was there. I met so many amazing people and just loved them, loved the nation, loved the food, and really enjoyed my time there. And so was waiting for an opportunity to get back at the right time, and this was it. So it was really quite a reunion for me with so many wonderful people, and just amazing. But I'll share a little bit about some of that, actually, and some of my past there today. But I'd like to start with a scripture this morning. 1 Corinthians 4:20, you want to read it first in the Passion Translation, says, "For the kingdom realm of God comes with power, not simply impressive words." In the New American Standard, that same verse says, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in words or words only, but in power." So the kingdom that you and I are in is not just talking. That's what the Amplified says. It's not just talking. But the kingdom that we get to be a part of, that we are in, includes power. Isn't that wonderful? That is so amazing. And it's so wonderful that God is not just a God of words, but he's a God of power. The kingdom that he introduced us to and welcomed us into is one that has power attached to it, power for so many things. Everything that's needed, as Don was just saying, the things that we need, Jesus has, and he gives it away. He is so generous with what is needed in our lives. And I would say certainly every major decision that I've made in my life over the last 20 years or so has had the supernatural attached to it, where God was showing me things in supernatural ways that I couldn't have understood or gotten any other way. It wasn't naturally understood. Even the starting of this church was a supernatural thing that God did through dreams and encounters. And so God is a God who is not just invisible. He is a God of power. And he wants to, always has, done things through his supernatural means. And a lot of times in our Western world, intellectualism and just brain power and maybe linear thinking has oftentimes, especially in the church as well, discounted God or discounted his power. And that is a shame, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a supernatural God, and he's the God that we get to serve. I'm so, so grateful for that. So let me tell you a little bit about my time in Sri Lanka. By the way, we can throw this up here just so you can see where this is. When I say Sri Lanka, a lot of people don't know where it is. So it's interesting, though, if you talk to about any Sri Lankan, they know exactly where America is. They know a lot about us. But we, as Americans, often don't know a whole lot about the rest of the world. But this is, Sri Lanka is an island. I call it like a teardrop-shaped island off the tip of India, off the southern tip of India. It's beautiful. It's in the Indian Ocean. It's basically the same size as our state of West Virginia, but has 20 million people, twice the population of North Carolina, on this island. But it has mountains, a lot of tea estates, beautiful beaches, and just amazing places throughout this island, incredible people. But I was sent there by the government. I used to work for the government, and the State Department, worked out of the U.S. Embassy there. It was my first assignment when I was in the government, was to this little island. And I didn't know, I'd never been out of the country before. And I got there, and it was like, I remember the trip from the airport to this house that I was living in. My senses were on overload. If you, and you guys know this, if you've been out of the U.S. and you go to a developing nation, just the cows and the millions of people and the smells and all the things, that I just was, it was overload. But when I got to my place, I got a message from my dad, and he said, "Hey, I was talking to your Uncle Tim," which was my dad's brother, and he said, "Uncle Tim heard that you're going to Sri Lanka and wanted you to know that he has a friend there. He has a good friend there. His name's Pastor Leslie Kegel. And he has seen someone's arm grow out. It was a stub with little nubs, and it grew out to a whole arm with fingers that were working. You ought to meet him." And I thought, that sounds like a great idea. So I'm 22 years old, and I look up the Yellow Pages back then. I look up this church. It's probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes from where I lived. I took a tuk-tuk, which is a little, you know, three-wheeled taxi. And I took that to this address. They didn't know I was coming. I don't know anything about them. I show up. I sit in the back row, and everybody that was in my row got up and left and went to another row. I felt like some reverse discrimination of some kind. That was not, I don't know what was going on. And after the service, I went up to the pastor, and I just said, "Hey, my name is Matt from America, and you know my Uncle Tim, who was a pastor. He was the president of Four Square Churches Canada at the time, and you know my Uncle Tim." And he lights up. He said, "Of course I know your Uncle Tim. Welcome." He said, "Hey," he said, "I've got to meet with some people downstairs right now. Can you join me and help me?" He doesn't know who I am at all, and I don't know what we're getting into. So we went downstairs. The church at that time was on the second level, and the offices were underneath. So we get down there, and there are four people waiting for him. They didn't attend church. They were not Christians. They were four people, two couples. And the woman was demon-possessed of one of the wives. And they were, which I learned later, they basically served every god, like idols, all kind of things. But they'd been to the Buddhist witch doctor, the Hindu witch doctor, no help. They'd been to natural doctors. There was just no help for her. And they heard about, as a last resort, a Christian pastor that they had heard could pray for people and maybe she could get some help. So this is what was going on. They were waiting downstairs, waiting for the service to get over, so they heard us up above. So we get down there. I don't know what's going on. I just met this guy. And he starts to just quietly pray for them, you know, softly. And this man's voice came out of this woman. This is my first experience with this. This man's voice comes out of this woman, calls Pastor Leslie a jackass, and he, like, boom, rises up and starts commanding this demon to leave. And a couple of minutes later, she hits the deck. Bam! She's on the ground, and they're all standing around like, what is going on? She looks up, and her eyes are clear. You can always tell when someone is free of a demon by their eyes, because the eyes are the window to the soul, to the heart. And oftentimes, you can tell when it's not gone, too, because you can see what's going on. But she was free and in her right mind. And she stood back up, and her husband and this other couple said, we want your God. And next thing you know, this was a salvation experience. So now led all four people to the Lord. In this moment, all four become Christians, seeing the power of God released in this moment before the gospel is preached. And then we went from there the following, maybe a couple weeks later, went with Pastor Leslie to their home. They were wealthy people. They owned a rubber estate up in the mountains. If you ever seen rubber, it comes from trees. They tap the trees like maple syrup type thing, but that's where rubber comes from. And we went to their estate, and they had a shrine in their home, like half the size of my house was the shrine, with every kind of idol that we ended up taking all out and smashing them. And anyway, that began my two-year journey on this beautiful island with these amazing people, where I felt as though the book of Acts was opened up and I leapt inside. And it will ruin you. When you see God move in power and you recognize that the supernatural is indeed real, that the spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm in many ways, it's because we all started first in spirit. God is spirit, right? Then he created the natural. And so it was an amazing time where not only did I experience things, but my eyes were opened and my heart was filled with love for the Lord more than ever, and honestly ruined for normal Christianity that I had been used to, of not really any power, not really God doing anything, loving him, but really not seeing healing or people getting set free, though I had a genuine love for him. So it was quite the internship, basically, for me. I ended up serving a lot. Whenever I wasn't working, I was usually at the church, ended up leading their Sunday evening service, and traveling around the island. We would go to church after church after church that they had planted from this one English-speaking congregation at that point, 600 other church plants. So we would go visit those church plants, preach and encourage and pray for people. And so I did that a lot, spent almost all my money on fuel as I drove my old Land Cruiser around the island with people and ministering, and it was really just an amazing time. But now they have 1,500 churches there. And so I got to be there last Sunday. I got to speak at the main church there, which they have now a spectacular building, bigger than this one. And it's just so great to see my friends there, Dinesh and his wife, Danu, and my other friend, Romesh, and his wife, Narosha. So it was a spectacular time. I also got to see Leslie. He's retired, but he was back. And, you know, one of the ways that the devil has deceived the body of Christ and so many Christians over time is this, through a lie that the Holy Spirit quit doing what he used to do. It's an absolute lie that the Holy Spirit used to do amazing things, but he doesn't do those anymore, because now those apostles are all dead, and the whole point of the Holy Spirit was to just show that these guys are apostles. Well, that's not scripture. The Holy Spirit was just getting started in the first century. You realize that? He came here, Peter said, he's here forever. He's here forever to live on the inside of us, to do the works of Jesus through us, as Jesus said, and to live abundant lives where God's power overcomes the enemy's power in every situation, at every turn. And I'm so thankful that he is a powerful God. He still is working. He still is doing things. And oftentimes what gets in the way is my mind. Intellectualism and figuring out, having to have everything figured out. Having to understand everything. It's so weird how we do that sometimes. If I don't understand it, then it must not be God. Or if I haven't experienced it, then it must not be God. You know, when I think of, yet, things like this, we will be happy to go over and click the light switch on and use the power of electricity to turn lights on and not worry about how it works. Most of us in here have no clue how that works. All I do this, power happens. And I don't even think about it. I'm not afraid of it. I use it. I participate in it. Yet with the Holy Spirit, oftentimes, what's unknown or not understood, we can get afraid of. When God, who is the Holy Spirit, moves in power and wants us to participate with him in things that we don't understand, but by faith, believing, trusting him, leaning into him, expecting him to do amazing things. I want to say unapologetically that I want and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him here in our church. We need him in our personal lives. We need him when I speak. We need him when we all live our lives every day at work. In all the things that we do, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him when we preach, when I preach. When the gospel is shared through our lives, when we pray, when we live daily, we need to lean into the power of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do. When my friend Leslie was preaching and that woman's arm grew out, the story, as told by him, is that he was preaching. He didn't even pray for her. He was sharing the gospel. He was preaching the gospel, and people started screaming. And he looked down and saw her and saw this arm start growing out all the way. And the place went crazy, as you can imagine. And then this woman has fingers where she didn't have fingers before. Just by sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, talking about Jesus, and having an expectation and a leaning in that the Holy Spirit wants to do things because of what Jesus paid for. He paid for our healing. He's the supernatural God who created all things and every part of our body, and he can recreate things that are needed anytime. A few years after I returned from Sri Lanka, I was looking in the mirror one day in my bathroom, and I noticed that there's a birthmark on my hip. And I looked down at it. It's right here. I would show you, but it would be inappropriate. But I have a birthmark right here that's the same shape as the nation of Sri Lanka. Identical. And I just started laughing. And I realized that while I was being formed in my mom's womb, the Lord marked me with a nation he would send me to 20-some years later. And I was carrying the mark of a nation I would travel to, and I had no idea until 6 years after I was there, before I paid attention to a way that God was communicating with me or wanting to or to encourage me. There's so many things and so many ways. We're going to be talking about this some next month, which is almost upon us, about the ways that God speaks. So many ways that he speaks we miss because I'm not paying attention or not expecting him to speak in that way. And he speaks in so many different ways. And then later, I saw another one, a birthmark, on my rib cage. And it was I looked at it and I said to the Lord, I wonder if that means anything. I just asked that question. Do you ask the Lord questions like that? Lord, I wonder if this means something. That's part of a relationship with God, is asking questions like that. Lord, what are you saying? I feel something. What are you saying, God? Are you trying to say something to me? What is it that you have for someone else? Just these asking God, this is a relationship with God. So I just said, Lord, I wonder if that means anything. And the moment I said it, I could hardly get the question out of my mind. I don't know if you even said it out loud. I heard from the Lord on the inside of me. It wasn't audible, but I heard so clearly, Burkina Faso. And I thought, okay, I don't know. That's in Africa somewhere, but I didn't know where. So I went to the office, and I typed in Burkina Faso, pulled it up on my screen, put a piece of paper on the screen, and traced it. And the outline is the same as this birthmark. And I ended up going there. It sits on top of Ghana in West Africa. Ended up going there. We drilled a well there. Met an amazing people. The Lord set all that up. But all that to say, God's power is in so many different ways. And I wonder what marks on your body he has put that you've never paid attention to. That perhaps God has a nation for you to pray for, or to give to, or to go to, or to move to. Who knows? This we're talking about God, who has everything in the palm of his hand, who has the ultimate plan all figured out for each one of us to walk into. I love his power. When I was in Sri Lanka, I met a pastor named Angelo. And Angelo is a fiery really evangelist, maybe as much as a pastor. He'd go to new areas, new villages, he'd preach the gospel. And it's, tricky. You're going to places that are Buddhist and Hindu. They don't like it, but he's going there and he's preaching. People are gathering, and there's a guy nearby, unbeknownst to Angelo, as he's preaching night after night. But there is a guy nearby who's a witch doctor. And he speaks, and the reason I can say this story is he's told me this story firsthand. He said when he was a witch doctor, he would speak to demons just straight. He could see. He said, I would go and I'd look in my mirror, I could see them. And I would talk to the demons. He said, people would come to me and pay me to curse people to death. So he was like a paid spiritual hitman. People that get upset with their neighbor or something like that, he'd come to him and give them money to put a curse on them that they would die. That's what he did. And so he heard about this Angelo preaching in the area. He's a Christian, doesn't want him there. That's his territory. So he tells the demon, I want you to kill this man. Go kill this guy. So the demon goes away. The next day, he sees him again in the mirror. He says, did you take care of him? And he says, you don't need to worry about him. You don't need to worry. He said, what do you mean? I don't need to worry about him. Did you kill him? He said, no. And he said, why? Why did you not kill the person I sent you to go kill? And the demon said to him, I can't. There's fire around him. There's fire around him. And I can't get through the fire to hurt him. So the witch doctor, he said, okay, I'll go take care of it myself. So he goes to hear this guy preach, not to hear him, but to curse him to death. And Angela has no idea what's going on. He's just preaching. And as he's preaching, the witch doctor comes in and makes it in the meeting and starts to curse, and he cannot get it out. He can't get it out. He falls to his knees, and he starts repenting of his sins. He starts acknowledging Jesus. It's like he was, where it says in Philippians 2, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he's Lord. This guy started doing it, and he didn't want to. But those under the lordship of Jesus, this guy falls to his knees. He repents, and he turns to Jesus. All the demons are kicked out of him that he's got. He's got plenty. He was delivered, and I found myself in his home. So I went to this guy's house on two occasions. I took other people with me as he shared this testimony, and he's a pastor now. So he's now pastoring people and leading people. He's been doing this for 20-plus years, 30 years, as I've been gone. And God set him free and protected Angelo while he's doing the work of the ministry. Now, I love that story for several reasons. But one, when you're doing what you are called to do, when you're going out and speaking, how about the Lord's protection around you that you don't even know about? Thank you, Lord, for that. I remember one evening I came home. I had a night guard that the embassy had hired to protect the home I was staying in the evenings. And he's a Buddhist guy. His name's Gamini. Nice guy. And one night I went down and I could tell he didn't look like he was doing well. I said, "Gamini, everything okay? What's wrong?" He said, "My hand hurts." I've told the story here before. He said, my hand hurts. I've injured it. And what just came to me was, Jesus wants to heal you. So I didn't preach to him. I just said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, hesitantly, "Yes." And usually, as you know, when you ask to pray for people and they say yes, they typically think you're going to pray for them at night, like when you get in your room or something. That's often how that works. But he said yes, so I said, "Can I see your hand?" And then he was like, "Oh, no." But he did. And he put his hand out like this. I just put his hand, sandwiched it in mine. And I just said, "Jesus, would you heal Gamini's hand? Heal his fingers. In Jesus' name, amen." I opened my eyes and he was staring right at me. And he said, I feel heat. There's no more pain. There's no more pain. And he gets this big smile on his face. And then he says, he saw me leaving on Sunday mornings. He says, "Can I come to church with you?" He did. Gamini gets saved. He gave his life to Jesus, came through the power of God touching someone before the gospel was even preached. The power of God comes when the gospel is preached. Sometimes it comes before the gospel is preached. Jesus is the healer. And he loves people, whether they're Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim or atheist or whoever they are. Jesus loves people, wants to heal, wants to help them. You know, the angel said to Mary, and Jesus said this as well, nothing is impossible with God. Not one thing is impossible with God. You can name something, doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is impossible with God. We serve the God who does the impossible. Everything he's ever done was impossible to do, by the way, by our standards, but not for him. Remember the Apostle Paul, shipwrecked, headed for Rome, landed on another island. It wasn't Sri Lanka, it was Malta. He gets on the island. You know, they're all soaked. They're cold. They start building a fire. You remember the story. He gets some wood. He collects some wood. A viper, a snake, comes out and latches onto his hand. And the locals watch this poisonous snake latch onto his hand, knowing that he's got moments to live. And they go, he definitely is a murderer. And justice is coming to him. He's going to die. They keep watching him. He just keeps building the fire and everything's normal. Nothing affects him. And then they go from thinking he's a murderer to thinking he's a god. Because he didn't die. God does that miracle for him and protecting him. And next thing you know, he's helping the people on the island. In Acts 28, it says, the Roman governor of the island named Publius had his estate nearby. He's basically the governor of the whole place. He graciously welcomed us as his house guests, showed us hospitality for the 3 days that we stayed with him. His father lay sick in bed, suffering from fits of high fever and dysentery. So Paul went into his room and after praying, placed his hands on him. Have you ever noticed when you read both Jesus and the apostles, whether it's Paul or the disciples, that oftentimes when they prayed for people who were sick, it says they prayed first. They were praying, and then they would go lay hands on them. It's like they're getting charged up from heaven, and then they go and discharge heaven as they pray. That's what is expressed here. When the people of the island heard about this miracle, they brought all the sick to Paul, and they were also healed. This message starts going out that there's a guy who can heal, who knows God. And life for each of us puts us in positions where God is needed. And there's no other explanation. There's no other help. There's no other witch doctor. There's nothing that is going to bring help but It's God. He's the only way. And I think that part of life is putting us in those positions so that we lean into God. And he is the one who comes, who arrives, who helps. His kingdom is full of power. We have been born with great purpose, every single one of us, and born again with great purpose. To have our minds renewed, to have our bodies filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizing that wherever we go, we're carrying the Holy Spirit. Whatever situation, whatever atmosphere I'm in, even if it's dark, even if it's difficult, even if it's evil, I'm bringing light because I'm there. And the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And Jesus wants to use us, partner with us and on this planet, demonstrating his love, revealing the good news, forgiving people. You know, we're his ambassadors here. I've recognized also in my walk, both in Sri Lanka and after, how a huge key to people being delivered oftentimes has to do with forgiveness. It's such a major thing in the kingdom that we can't get around, can't skirt around this and hope for all the miracles of God. There is this thing, it's interesting, when Jesus rose from the dead, appears to the guys who were locked away in fear, shows up in the room with them, he says three things to them. First, he says, peace be to you, peace to you. The second thing he says, well, first he breathes on them. He breathes on them. That's what Jesus did. And says, receive the Holy Spirit. So have peace, receive the Holy Spirit. And then the third thing he says is, if you have anything against anyone, forgive. The third thing Jesus shares after being raised from the dead, showing them his wounds, both in his hands and his side, is he says, peace, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and forgive. Forgive. That's how important forgiveness is. And one of the things I love about the timing of this is that he said, receive the Holy Spirit just before he said, forgive. To me, that means the Holy Spirit's going to help us do it. Part of what the Holy Spirit does as the helper is to help us to forgive. Have you ever had someone that has done something to you, against you, that is so strong that it's like you feel like you cannot forgive them? You try, or maybe you do once and then go right back into it, or it's just like, no, I can never, it's too bad, it's too difficult, it's too horrible what has been done to me. I can't, I deserve to hang on to this. Those things inhibit the power of God in our lives. Unforgiveness is a blocker. Not always. I still see God break through sometimes. It's amazing. But oftentimes, unforgiveness and bitterness enables the enemy to have a hold of something in our lives. So much of us getting free as people is having a life where we have forgiven everyone. Everything from happened when we were 1 year old all the way to now, we have to. There's no choice for us if we want freedom, but we have to forgive. We get to forgive. We get to partner with the Holy Spirit as he helps us to let go. And there's freedom when we let go, when we let others go, when we forgive. I remember being in my office here in the States when I was leading the school of ministry, and this great big guy from another country was one of my students, came to my office one day, got right in my face. He's big, a lot bigger than me. And his fists were clenched, and he was shaking. And there was anger exuding from him. I thought, he is going to kill me. And that was a thought I had. This guy is going to kill me. And I just chose faith. In that moment, and I don't even remember his name right now, but I said to him, I said, I need you to step away from me, out of my office, and I'll meet you in a couple of hours. Come back in a couple of hours. Well, I went and got two more pastors. He came back. We're talking to him. He's just furious. absolute anger. I don't know what is going on or why. He's not in his right mind. As we begin to pray, he hits the floor, boom, and starts rolling like a crocodile in a death roll. He rolls across the floor to that side of the room, then he rolls back, and as he's rolling, he's tearing at the carpet and tearing skin off his knuckles. Just tearing, and as he'd roll, I would stay there, and he'd roll right up toward my leg. I mean, just a couple inches from my leg, but wouldn't hit me. And he'd roll the other direction. As we're praying, he's like, well, this is crazy. He got a demon of anger inside of him. He's a demon of anger. So we're praying, we're asking the Lord, what is going on? And then one of us got a word of knowledge. This has to do with his dad. This has to do with the abuse from his dad. So we start to talk about that and the abuse that happened from his dad, and that the Lord wants to help him by him forgiving his father. And after a little while, he stops rolling. I can still picture him. And we start just ministering to him to forgive his dad. The Lord's going to help him do it. And he starts to weep and sob, and he forgives his father, and this spirit of anger leaves him. And he comes, he sits up too, same, clear eyes. You don't have that frenzy on the inside, that chaos on the inside. It's all gone. Huge smile. He forgave his father who abused him when he was a young boy. And this hatred on the inside for his dad, but also for spiritual authority, which I represented. Why he was so furious and so angry. Forgiveness set this man free. I didn't have to kick anything out. When he forgave him, that demon left. That spirit of anger left him. There are a lot of people who have anger, and it's because they have unforgiveness. And Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, receive him, and forgive. He's going to help loose that bitterness, loose that hold inside, and set you free. And we can receive the things that the Lord has for us. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6, that we need to forgive others. We've been forgiven so much, we have to forgive others. If we don't, then we restrict heaven coming to us. The power of God is actually, you know, God is unlimited, but it's interesting, there are places where even Jesus had difficulty doing miracles. One was his hometown. Remember that? He could only do a few miracles in his hometown. God, though unlimited, can be restricted by unforgiveness in our lives, unforgiveness in our hearts. But when we choose to forgive, I'll not hold one thing against anyone, but even bless them. To me, true forgiveness goes all the way to a blessing. Not just a letting go, but I bless them. And when we do that, it's as if the Lord can move in their life too, not just ours. The Lord can move in their life when we release somebody and bless them and ask God to help them. That's, to me, a sign of true forgiveness. At least for my own life, it's a litmus test for me. If I've forgiven someone, can I bless them? If they won the lottery, could I be happy for them? If not, then I probably still need to forgive. I want to be a blessing, and that way God sets us free, sets me free. And I've had my battles with this as well. I remember speaking on an evening about forgiveness like this. And at the end of the service, I asked people to stand up who felt like they needed to forgive someone. This was their opportunity. This young girl stood. She was 17. Riddled with arthritis in her body. At the age of 17, she had to have medication to move. She would just get locked up in the joints of her body where she couldn't move, super painful. And she felt like she was supposed to stand, but she couldn't think of anybody to forgive. But the Holy Spirit kept prompting her, I want you to stand, I want you to stand. So finally she stood without thinking of anybody to forgive. And then as she stood, these faces came into her mind, and they weren't anybody who had hurt her, but there were people who had hurt her parents. You know, heard of secondhand smoke. This is secondhand bitterness. Sometimes we can have unforgiveness toward people that haven't even hurt us, but they've hurt someone we love. And so as she stood, she began to forgive them. And she felt something in her body. Then she got into her car, and the presence of the Lord filled her car with bright light. She began to weep and just felt God right there, and she got healed of her arthritis. Her arthritis went away as she forgave people who had hurt her parents. Amazing. God is amazing. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. He moves in power. Perhaps there's someone here today also, and the Lord just brought to your mind someone to forgive. Someone that's done something to you, whether it's abuse or they've stolen something from you, or they've been unfaithful, or whatever it is. We all have these things in our lives. But if the person's face comes to you, that's the Holy Spirit wanting to help you, to free you from any and every bondage, so that you can receive the power of God, the forgiveness, and so the Lord can help that person as well. So let's just do that for a moment. Lord, we just, right now, we would take this opportunity to receive afresh the Holy Spirit. As you said, Jesus, when you breathed on them, we want your breath on our face right now. Jesus, the breath of your Spirit. And we receive you, Holy Spirit, and we also, for anyone in here who has a face of someone in their mind that has done them wrong, that's hurt them, that's harmed them, that's cheated them, we forgive them right now. We just make the choice. We choose, we use our will, and we choose to forgive. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help everyone to release and let go, to forgive that person, to let them go. And we bless them as well. We ask for your blessing. We ask that you'd chase them down, Holy Spirit, with your love and your kindness, that you'd help the offender and free the person who's forgiving in here right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you'd help all of us to keep clean slates in our spirit and our soul of forgiveness, that there wouldn't be any buildup of unforgiveness towards others, whether it's something really done wrong to us or an expectation that's unmet from others. We forgive. Lord, help us to walk every day in your forgiveness, letting go, freely forgiving. And if there's anybody in here who you have not given your life to Jesus, the salvation that he has prepared, he has died, he came, he died, he paid the price that we could not pay for our sin, so that we would be cleansed, washed, fully filled with his Spirit and live together with him forever and have purpose on this earth here. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus into your heart, he says in the Bible, it says that he stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And he waits for us to open the door. He doesn't barge through. He will never barge through into your life, but he'll stand and knock, and he waits for that invitation to come in, and it is satisfying. The King of the universe wants to live inside of you, to lead you, to give you purpose, to give you hope, to forgive you, to cleanse you, to start a relationship with you that's going to last into eternity.